You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, tune into an all-new Inside the Cleveland Browns every Wednesday at 7 on Sports Time Ohio with a look into the lives of the Browns players on and off the field. That's tomorrow at 7 on Sports Time Ohio. Myself alongside Sarah Carnes, and it's a special Halloween edition, and you just might get a visit from the Macho Man. Yeah. So definitely be sure to check that out. All right, we're going back to the phones, 216-578-0850, before we start handing out some grades. Bill in Myrtle Beach, welcome to CBD. All right, let's go to Reggie in Youngstown. Reg.
Reggie, what up?
What's happening, partners? What's up?
Not good, too man. Much. How you doing?
Oh, good. Hey, listen, I got two things right quick I'd like to say if I can.
Sure, go ahead.
One is, I'm going to just say the NFL in general. Why don't they anymore like use a two-back backfield? Why can't Cleveland run that type of thing anymore? Does it have something to do with the scheme that they run now or what?
What do you mean, like having Tate and West or Tate and Crowell in the same time?
Exactly, like they used to do. I'm wondering why. One of my buddies said, Matt, he said that the NFL is like a copycat league, and normally what works for one team, eventually you see other teams doing it. So I guess this spread offense, I'm figuring maybe that's why they do it. I always wondered about that. I wanted to ask you about that right there. And the second thing, and I'll get off and let you guys comment on it. The second thing is, Matt, when I watched last week, I'm getting a little bit off of our Browns here for a minute, but I was about Ohio State. I love Ohio State. And, man, I tell you, the offense that they run against Penn, that sucked. That sucked, man. That was terrible.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. You are right.
Terrible play calling.
It is terrible play calling. I think, again, to touch upon the Buckeyes before we get back to the Browns and answer the first part of your question is, I think we saw Urban Meyer's best impression of Tressel Ball, you know, just out of a spread, you know, with a quarterback and a shotgun. But to answer your first question, and I like where your head's at, and I think it's something that we have the backs who are capable of doing it. I'd love to see them. Now more so than ever with Jordan Cameron being down, we might see a little bit of a 20 set is what we used to call it. It's two backs and no tight ends. So that means we'd see Hawkins, Gabriel, Austin with Tate and Crowell or Tate and West or Crowell and West in the backfield. And what it's a pain, you know, and what it does, it forces, you know, your inside linebackers cover those backs in most cases, you know, out of the backfield and into routes down the field. And I think that is one great thing that I'd love to see, as I talked about with innovation, you know, innovation to force a team to prepare for something or to see something they've never seen before. And they're forced to prepare for it and learn about it on the fly.
But do you feel it's because the tailbacks that you have now, a Tate or a West or a Crowell, they don't want to be a lead blocker?
No, and in this case, here's what you would do. My best scenario is you line up with Hawkins and Austin on one side and Gabriel on the other side and both guys in the backfield, right? You motion one out and you get into your one back, you know, gun run scheme. You know, you can do zone read, you can do the zone off of it, and or it's going to be a passing situation. You know, you can put both of them, you know, fake screen one way, Phillip Rivers pirouette, throws a screen to the backside, which is a staple of Norv Turner's offense. You just do more out of it, and that's the innovation I'm talking about. And then also too, as you continue to dive into tape, you go, I like my guy Tate or Crowell or West versus these inside linebackers all day, and you get those guys out into routes, which we saw, DeMarco Murray had, 70, 80 yards out of the backfield?
Yes.
One of them was on a missed protection, but when the getting's good, the getting's really,
good.
Really good, you know? And those are scenarios I'd love to see, which we're not getting enough of, and I'm sure that's where you're going with this.
Well, I'd like to see that, but I'd also like to see the Browns take a guy like Taylor Gabriel, motion him into the backfield to get that same matchup, kind of the way the Saints have done with Brandon Cooks, or we've seen Green Bay do with a guy like Randall Cobb,
yeah.
Because it's just creating mismatches. That's all you're trying
mayhem.
To do is create a little bit of mayhem. So I think that there is something to that in terms of the two-back set. I think from the strict running game, the only time you're going to see two-backs is when you have the fullback Biggie Smalls in there leading the way for Ben Tate, Terrence West, or Isaiah Crowell. All right, let's go to our guy Chevy in New Jersey now. Chevy, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Here's what I say about the Browns stepping up and winning 3 out of 4. In the beginning, you had Hoyer and Kyle Shanahan dominating. He had a great O-line. Yes, he had a running game. But what star quarterback doesn't have a supporting cast? And he made his players better. And that's why I say Hoyer is an excellent quarterback. Then his confidence got rattled, and they lost. And they almost lost last Sunday. And that's why I was a little uptight, because I think he's a great quarterback. I just think with a little more polish, and him and Kyle could come up with a plan, gain their confidence back, and continue to win.
Why do you think
his way to defense?
Why do you think his confidence waned?
Because he said he was going to play for a team that wanted him to play after he's from Cleveland. That's like LeBron saying, "Oh, I'll take my talents to, you know, South Beach or whatever." It was the same type of thing. He didn't mean it. It came out. They were saying that the quarterback, the draft pick, Manziel, was going to be the starter eventually. So he had to say something on his behalf, but that hurt him.
It did. And in my eyes, I think what I've learned thus far this season about Brian Hoyer is, again, what we saw of him in the sample size we got last year is he's a good leader. He's a winner. And the guys are following him, which, you know, kind of coincides with my first 2 points. But what we've also found out is as we get more of him, we find out what he struggles with. I think in my eyes, he struggles a little bit, not in his mental preparation for the game, but how off-the-field issues can affect his play. We saw it in training camp. You know, we saw it when the Johnny contract questions came into play as well. And then also, too, is his inaccuracy. You know, the more we get of Brian Hoyer, the more we continue to see those missed passes. You know, those $10 million-plus-a-year quarterbacks don't have more than two or three of those a game, and we're getting twice that and sometimes almost – three times that with Brian Hoyer at this point in the season.
Tom Brady apparently didn't even have one off-target throw this past Sunday. First time since 2006 that he's had a game without an off-target throw, but that were the stats that were reported out of that one. I think it's also, to me, it comes down to the fact that ultimately you need to get better on third downs. And right now, that's where the Browns are atrocious. They are atrocious on third down. And we said, you know, going into the game, they were 28th in the NFL. You go 2-for-12 against an Oakland Raiders team that, by the way, had been giving up 53% third down conversions. They had been the worst in the NFL, and the Browns take no advantage of that, and in fact come out of that game in a worst position in terms of their third down conversion percentage, and now have dropped to 31st in the NFL. So I think you're seeing a quarterback and an offense that when you get into third and more than five really struggles to convert, and that has something to do with, unfortunately, with the quarterback play and what's going on there with just a pure passing attack. Because ultimately in the NFL, you need to be able to throw the football when other teams know you're throwing the football.
You're right. And that is probably the other half of the script that has been mastered, it seems, in the last 2 weeks. Stopping the run allows us to force to run again on second down and be in third and eight, third and nine, third and 10, and or take a shot on second down to get into that, you know, third and two, third and three. And when we throw an incompletion, which we have, you know, what, a 56, 57% completion rate, odds are we're going to be in third and eight plus. And so not being able to run is a direct reflection on why we're struggling on third down.
No question about it. And we're going to give you the grades. It's time for the Professor Matt Wilhelm to hand out his grades. I'll hand out mine for the game against the Oakland Raiders. So keep it tuned here to Cleveland Browns Daily, and we will share those grades with you right after this.